So a young man of a wealthy family was finally graduating college, and it was the custom in this affluent neighborhood that when the young boy or girl graduated college, the family gave him a brand new car. Nice, huh? So the boy made sure Dad knew what kind of car he wanted. He kept pointing him out, but Dad never really said anything. And then on the eve of his graduation, Dad gives him a gift. The boy's all excited. He opens it up. Inside is a brand new Bible with a little note on it. It says, "Son, in this book you will find untold riches." The boy was so mad, threw the Bible down, stomped out of the house, and held a grudge against his dad for years. And one day, Dad was sick, and he came over to visit him, and he was sitting in the living room, and happens to see the Bible there. It's the Bible his dad had given him, and he picks it up, and when he opens it, out falls a cashier check for more money than he would have ever needed to buy any car that he wanted to. Dated the day of his graduation. You know, something like that actually happened to me. Some visiting family came to the church one year, preaching, and on the way out, the wife gave me a book, and she said, "Pastor, this is really, really, really a good book. You need to read it." And, you know, people give me books all the time. I mean, they give me DVDs, and, "Pastor, you need to watch this," and, "Book, you need to read this," and, you know, "Podcast, you need to listen to this." And, you know, I'm all about listening, reading, and stuff, but, you know, sometimes it's a little overwhelming. I got 5 books that I'm already reading, and so she gives me the book. "Thank you," I said. I put it up on the shelf, and she left, and that was the end of that. But about a month later, I think, you know, I'm trying to do a study, and I think, oh, yeah, that book's kind of on that stuff. So I reach up, I take the book out, off the shelf, I open it up, out falls a $1,000 check made out to me, a $1,000 check. I'm looking, oh, man, I think, wow, what if I never opened that book? Check would have just died, you know. So then I got this great idea. I'd do that to my kids, you know, encourage them to read, you know. So one Christmas, I bought them books, the ones that could read, and I put a $10 check in there, you know, not $1,000, but, you know, $10. And so I didn't say anything, stuck it in the book, and I thought, well, this would be great because I'll get to find out if they actually read the book or not. Well, my eldest son, on Christmas Day, he's holding a book, and he's just kind of doing this. All of a sudden, the check falls out. And did that, he told all the other kids, hey, you know, they're all shaking out, they cash it the next day, and here goes my bright idea, you know. But, you know, it got me thinking about the young boy, and I started thinking, you know, how many people do that to God, though? There's untold riches that God has for you, untold riches, and, you know, people just blow it off. Either they just don't believe it, or they don't know of it, but I think a lot of times it's cynicism that breaks in because, you know, we're in a world where you hear the stories, and we know the stories of the, if it's too good to be true, it's too good. I'm sure enough of us have been burnt in our lives by believing someone making promises that were empty. You know, you buy this and you'll be happy, and you buy this and you'll get the girlfriend, and you buy this and you lose 40 pounds, and you buy this and you'll be rich, and, you know, and then you do it and you're like, ah, that was an empty promise. I got a call the other day, someone on the phone. I generally don't answer it if I don't know the name, but it's a number. I'm expecting a call. I pick it up. Oh, great, salesperson. He's trying to give me free windows for my house. Free windows, you know. Really? Yeah, just send them on over. You know, that's fine. Well, you know, blah, blah. After a while, I find out, oh, they weren't free. I was going to get a $5,000 loan for free, you know. Oh. And it was going to be interest-free. Really? Yeah, because they already built the interest into the loan, you know. So, shut up, you know. You get tired of empty promises. I mean, I understand when you hear promises that God makes that you get tired of that kind of stuff. And, you know, but this morning I just want to talk about this whole idea that God's promises are not too good to be true. They are not too good to be true. And though we've had people make promises to us that are empty, God's ways are different. And this morning I thought maybe we just kind of do a play on words here and say, actually, there's an emptiness that's full of promise in God's kingdom. I want to talk about the empty promise of Easter, the empty tomb, what kind of promise it has for us. So let's read in Luke. It's a story we're all familiar with. Just want to read it and just throw out a few ideas. What kind of promises are here? And then maybe just challenge you. Are you going to be, like the boy who threw down the Bible and missed his chance? Lots of promises here. Luke 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Great question there. He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? He said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So even the disciples, they were caught off guard by this. They were not expecting Jesus to die just the night before they're having this Passover meal. And I think the way I read the scriptures, they were expecting him to make his move and become the Messiah that they thought he should be, the conquering king. And then 24 hours later, he's dead. And then 2 days later, he's risen from the dead. And they're trying to process through this. But this resurrection is full of promise. Full of promise, man. This is not an empty promise. It's an empty tomb full of promise. And I'll just point out a couple of them to you. First is, it promises us forgiveness of sin. Now, you know, that's a phrase maybe you've heard of, but can I just help you a little bit here? Unless you know what it means to have your sins forgiven, you will never be a healthy, normal person. Period. If you go through life carrying the weight of all the things you've ever done wrong, that gets heavy. And it works on your mind and it works on your behavior. And guilt drives people to do crazy things. But what we know is Jesus' death and his resurrection, the empty tomb, tells us that his death paid for our sins. This is a final deal. He's not like anybody else who was crucified. Lots of people were crucified. Hundreds of people were crucified. If he did not rise, we would not know, gee, did his death really pay for our sins? We would be wondering. The empty tomb says your sins can be forgiven. You don't have to carry the guilt of all the things you've ever done wrong or all the bad thoughts you've ever had. You can ask God, God, please forgive me on Jesus' behalf. He paid for my sins. And not walk around wondering, I wonder if it worked. The resurrection says it worked. This says this is the deal. You can be forgiven of your sins. And I truly believe until you get this revelation, my sins are forgiven. Chapter 1 of 1 John at the very beginning, John is at the end of the Bible, but the very first chapter is about forgiveness. And it's revelation. It's revelation when he says, forgiven means washed away. No remembrance. He doesn't hold it over you. It's gone. You're new. You're clean. You're washed. And I tell you here this morning, I know there are people sitting among us who struggle with forgiveness. The answer is not to try to forgive more. The answer is receive more. Get the revelation that your sins are forgiven. God promises you this. His promises are not empty. Jesus said he would do it. He told them he would do it. He did it. And they're wondering, and on Easter morning, bam, He proved it. I am who I said I am. First promise is your sins are forgiven you. Second thing this tells me is he took the sting out of death. This is kind of hard to deal with sometimes, but you know, we're going to die. Unless we happen to be the last generation, at some point Jesus is going to return. We know this, and at some point people who are alive won't die. They'll be the lucky ones. But the rest of us, if we happen to not be the last generation, we are going to die. And I can tell you, I have sat at the bedside of many a dying saint. And there's something different about those who die who understand the significance of the resurrection of Christ. He took the sting out of death. He took the sting. There was a father and a son driving down a road one spring afternoon. Window was open, beautiful day. A bee flies into the car. The son's deathly afraid because he's allergic to bee stings. The kid is freaking out. The dad looks over, sees the son freaking out, reaches out, grabs the bee with his hand. And just a few seconds later, looks over and he sees the son and he opens his hand and he lets the bee out. Starts flying around again. The kid's freaking out again. The dad puts his arm around the son. He says, "Son, I took the sting. The bee can't hurt you anymore." This is what we're talking about. Jesus took the sting out of death. It means it isn't the final act for us. It's just changing your clothes. It really is. "I'll see you again." Paul talked about this. Yes, we sorrow because we're being separated, but man, we will live in eternity with Christ. Death is not the final act. We don't have to fear it. We may not like it. And in the very end, the Bible tells us when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom, there will be no more death. But until then, it still has us, just this peace where it kind of grabs us and you go, "I don't want to die," but it just doesn't have the sting anymore. We're all right. We're just changing our clothes. The promise of the empty tomb is death has lost its sting. And then the third thing is, since the tomb is empty, it means he's still alive. It means he's still alive. So like when he rose from the dead, it kind of freaked the disciples out. I mean, they're up in this room and they're kind of hiding. It says all the doors were locked and Jesus appears to them and they're going, oh man, you know, is this a ghost? What? And he goes, "No, I'm not a ghost. I'm here, and give me some food." And he sits down, and he hangs out with them. It says he appeared to them many times after that. It says he appeared to them to over 500. He hung out with them. He talked with them. He fellowshiped with them. It was as though he had never died. Although he was different, they had this relationship with him that was real. And so the promise of the empty tomb is to say, look, he is still alive, folks. He's still alive. And we can know him. We can know him. He's not some nebulous force out there and this, you know, feeling that I have. It's really Jesus. He's really alive. And every one of us can have a relationship with him because he rose from the dead. There's a big difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. We all, you know, we know about our political leaders. We know about athletes. Some people know everything about athletes. It drives me crazy. They know their whole life story. People know everything about famous musicians and movie stars. But that's not the same as saying we're friends, we're buds. I mean, there's a difference. And there are lots of people who know lots of things about God. But the fact that he rose from the grave and he's still alive means we can know him. He ascended to heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit to the earth that we might have communion with God, that we might know him. Let me tell you, the empty tomb is full of promises. God's promises are not empty promises. Many, many things you could talk about when you think about the empty tomb. One, your sins guaranteed, assured, are forgiven. You don't have to carry them. You don't have to try to undo them. You don't have to try and prove yourself to God. Two, the sting of death gone. May have to face it, but it's just a transition, just a crossing over. And three, it means he's alive. You can know him. You can know him. In the book of Revelations, there's a story of Jesus standing at the door and says he's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door, it says. If anyone will hear my voice and open that door, I'll come in. I'll hang out with them. I'll eat supper. We'll converse together. We'll get to know one another. It's the promise. I wonder if he's knocking at some of your doors here today. I wonder if it's possible some of us here today know a lot about God, maybe grew up in church, know a lot of Bible stories, but have you opened your heart? Or are you going to be like the boy that, you know, didn't get his car and stomped out, and inside that book were untold riches? You can open your heart to God and begin the journey of a real relationship with a God who loves you and will lead you and guide you, be a part of your lives. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you that your promises are not empty. Although the tomb is empty, it's full of promise, God. And I'm thanking you that I'm assured, as I stand here this morning, every sin I've ever committed, every bad thought that I've ever had, I can ask you to forgive me. And because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, proving that his death was sacrificial, I'm cleansed this morning, God. God, that I don't have to fear death. It doesn't have that sting anymore. And God, that I can converse with you and have you in my life. Holy Spirit, I ask right now, in the name of Jesus, just move among us here. And God, if you're knocking at some people's doors here today, let them hear that knock. Offer to them the opportunity today to open their lives to you. And some of you, maybe when you were younger, you understood this, but maybe the years have gone by and now you realize we're just not connected. But you're here today. I mean, what better day than to make the decision, I want to be connected with God. I want to give my life to God. I want to open my heart. I want to receive those riches that you promise, that I might know salvation, experience the life you've called me to. So can we just take a minute, challenge you to open your hearts to God and listen. If he's knocking at the door of your heart, I'm just going to ask in a minute if you want to make that decision. If you just, right where you're sitting, just slip your hand up and say, yeah, Pastor Dave, I want to make that decision this morning. And we're just going to pray for you right where you're sitting. It's just a simple prayer, but it's a prayer that's full of power and life, and invite the Holy Spirit in. So there's a hand here up already. So just in the name of Jesus, if you want to make a decision this morning, you just raise your hand right now. I want to open my heart up. Just hold your hand up. We want to pray for you. Just hold your hand up. Just come, Holy Spirit. All the way in the back. Yep, all the way in the back. There's one. Come on. It's Easter, man. Full of promise. You can open the book. You can open your heart. Anybody else this morning, just slip your hand up. We want to pray a blessing over you. Right there, yep, I see. I'm good. Hold your hand up. Go ahead, hold it up. Hold it up. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? I see three hands up here. I'm going to pray in just a minute. Anybody else? Lady right there with the hand, right up here is a hand right here, right behind you, Dan, Diane, right behind you over here, Mary, yep, all the way in the back there, all the way over here. Let's just pray a simple prayer. Anybody else before we pray? Just hold your hand up. pray with you, give you a chance to open your heart to God. Hold your hand up in the name of Jesus. Let's just agree in prayer. Yep. Let's all say this together. Jesus, I'm opening my heart to you right now. I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins. Surrender my life to you. And I want to know you. Just fill me right now. Fill me with your Spirit. Just come right now, Holy Spirit. Just come. Just come. Just let them come right now in the name of Jesus. Just come. Come on. All the way in the back. Let them come. In the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 I just can't think of a better day than open your hearts to God. You know, it's a real thing, and I trust and pray God's Holy Spirit will help you and guide you. It's a real thing. All right, well, we're getting ready to take our Easter offering right now. So our whole offering today, everything goes to the poor. So, you know, some people complain about churches, you know, always wanting your money and stuff. But we don't want your money this morning. We want your money to give away. It's going on our almost 30 years where God gave us this scripture, he who gives to the poor is lending to God. And we believe that in our giving to the poor, God, we please God. And it's a supernatural thing here. And we want to give this offering away this morning. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. And you can give your offering this morning. If you open the bulletin, there's an envelope in there. You can designate it for free for the wheelchairs, the purchase of wheelchairs. Or you can designate it for the purchase of water filters. We're just going to look at a video here real quick and talk a little bit more about it.
Every week, diseases claim the lives of 30,000 people, most of them being young children. 2.5 million people die each year due to waterborne related diseases, 90% of which are children under the age of 5. All of this is happening because the most basic human need that isn't being met, clean water. We have been called to serve. We've been called to care for the less fortunate. It is what God has placed on our hearts. As Jesus said to us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. John 16, 33.
The water filter right here, this is being manufactured in Brazil. And we are, as a church, adopting a new missionary. His name is Richie. His last name begins with a B. It's hard to pronounce. I just call him Richie B. He's a church planner. He's planting vineyard churches along the Amazon. He's using these water filters as an open door. There's over 1 million people living on the Amazon. They do not have any running water. They have no electricity. And this is an awesome opportunity to show humanitarian care and to do it in Jesus' name. They're manufacturing them right there. Rich is also building a school. He has just moved within the past couple of years. He was living in another community, had been there for 10 years, had planted a number of churches and delivered like hundreds and hundreds of water filters. They've just moved to a new community a couple years ago. Wild place. Apparently it's like 5,000 squatters that live there. And I guess the community he's talking about is quite radical. He said now they're averaging only one murder a month. So things have settled down. Is it one a month? It's either one a month or one a week. I guess it was, you know, a pretty crazy place. But they're bringing the kingdom of God. And so we're going to purchase water filters, and we'll be going down, Pastor Chip, myself and Roxanne are going down in June to meet him with another vineyard church and start establishing the whole ministry project, and then we'll be sending a team down next year to deliver these water filters. and be a part of the church plant and the movement that's going on down there in Brazil. So that's part of it. You can designate your offering towards the water conditioner, $195, or our wheelchairs, although we're changing our wheelchairs. I wonder if Chip bring up a couple of slides, what's going on with our wheelchairs.
How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love and the way that you come, for all that you've done and all that you're doing. My heart pours out. Thank you. You don't have to come.
So we've been doing this 8 years with the wheelchairs. We've done the inner city missions and all different kinds of projects, but for the last 8 years we've been giving this offering for the purchase of wheelchairs. There's one up here right now. We were purchasing them for $80 a chair and having them manufactured through a ministry in California who was contracted out of China. But our team this year came back from Vietnam. They have now made connection in Vietnam. That's where we're sending these chairs. And they're going to be manufactured in Vietnam for $50 a chair. $50. $50. I mean, just, you know, grab a hold of that, could you, just for a minute? For $50, you can literally change a person's life. They have no means of getting around. They have to be carried and are pushed in carts and crawl on the ground. And $50 changes a life. So we've now this is over 4,400 chairs we've sent to Vietnam, and we've been talking about this truly changing this country. Done again, humanitarian work done in Jesus' name. So this morning, I'm asking you, give sacrificially. This is a really good opportunity. You can buy, I mean, come on, 10 wheelchairs, $500, you know. You can split your offering. You can just say half and half. You can say, I want to buy wheelchairs. I want to buy filters. But everything goes. And it's just wonderful to be a part of this. And it's always been a great offering. So
stand lonely, you are the lover of the weak, you are our joy exploding, Jesus the one we need, your light breaks through the night, we're coming alive, your name breaks every chain, we're coming alive, coming alive. For the broken hearted, you are the lifter of our head. Your love is an endless ocean, never running dry. You came for the lost and lonely. You are the lover of the weak. You are our joy exploding. Jesus, the one we need. Your light breaks through the night.
Coming alive, coming alive. This is the
say, my guilt, your grace, you're breaking every chain. You took my place, I don't have to be the same. My guilt, your grace, you're breaking every chain. You took my place, I don't have to be the same. My guilt, your grace, you're breaking every chain. We're coming alive, coming alive. We are coming alive, coming alive. We are coming alive, coming alive. We are coming alive, coming alive. Your light breaks through the night. We're coming alive, coming alive. Your name breaks every chain. We're coming alive, coming alive. Your light breaks through the night. We're coming alive, coming alive. Your name breaks every chain. We're coming alive, coming alive. This is the freedom we cried for. This is the freedom you died for. This is the freedom you cried for. This is the freedom you died for.
Grab somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. We're family here. Grab somebody's hand. Come on. Father, I pray for everybody in this room here, in the name of Jesus, that you send this out. God, help us to experience the life you ordained for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're all dismissed.